Hi, this is Paul from Bay Church. Thank you for joining us for this podcast. We trust it's going to allow you to live bigger, to live better, and to live bolder. Amen, Lord. We just thank you so much that we can gather in your name, Lord. And we thank you for your grace, for your forgiveness, for your holiness, Lord, because it's your holiness that impacts us and changes us. And this morning, Lord, we ask that you change us, that you renew us and refresh us, and you gather us unto you, Lord, and we hear your heartbeat, and we sing your song, Lord, the song of grace and the song of love. We pray this morning, Lord, for everyone seated here and every person in every home all over the world who's listening as we gather. May the message they hear, Lord, bless them, encourage them, and change them. And may the message we hear, Lord, do exactly the same, because you are the author of that message, Lord. And the power is in you and in those words, Lord, because they come from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, thank you. I know that song we sang is new to you, but I absolutely love that Holy Water song. It always just speaks to me. So I said to V yesterday, we need to sing it. We need to learn it. And I thought, what a time. So you'll hear it some more from us. Okay, who watched online last week? Wow, okay, so you got this, right? You've got it. Now you're going to get it again, because this is part two. And they're getting exactly the same message online this morning. We recorded it in the week, because we don't have the facility to live stream yet. We're busy working on it. And just before I start, if I sound a little bit croaky this morning, it's Ryan's fault. Okay, we're busy recording a new online course called Destiny, which we're going to be introducing soon. And so we had a technical hiccup on Friday and had to redo it all again. So that's why I'm a bit croaky. But it's going to be a blessing. And when we do launch it, we're going to be launching Destiny and Alpha Online. And we ask that you join us for that. It's going to be amazing. We're really excited about that. We're going to run it through as leaders first, though, so give us a week or two and it will be available. So you got this. What do you have? You've got trouble, don't you? Has anyone here got a perfect life? It's all been going smooth. You're not exposed to anything as a result of COVID. Your relationship with your husband or your wife or your children is perfect. You got like money in abundance in the bank. And anyone here like that? Okay, so you've all got trouble. And this is what we spoke on last week. And we used that scripture from James 1, verse 2 to 4, where James says to the people, you know what, you're going to have all these issues, but have joy. And I'm thinking, James, my brother, you haven't seen my life. You don't know what I'm going through. How can I possibly have the extent of joy you talk about when trouble or trials come my way? It's a little bit impossible to celebrate hardship. But then he goes on to say, you must see that this is a process, that as you stand, and the longer you stand, the stronger you become. In fact, you become more mature. And I know we've spoken about problems and all of this before, but COVID has sort of brought a lot more things out, and we got people battling with jobs and with income and with relationships. You won't believe how relationships have been attacked during this time. So we need to talk about this, and we need to get to a place where we realize I can trust Jesus with what I am facing. In John 16:33, it will come up there. Jesus is basically saying to you, chill. Just relax, okay? Calm down just a little bit. Don't do anything stupid right now. Don't be hasty. Just calm down and realize this important fact. What you are facing I have overcome. Okay? And it's a concept that you need to let drop from your head to your heart. Because it's Yahweh it's going to impact you when you realize, look, I'm sitting with this issue. But it has been overcome. And if it's overcome, that means I'm able to get through it. But then you've got to do it the way the Bible says and what it says in John 16:33 with Jesus, because it's with him that you're going to have peace during the process, because it is a process. And if you don't, if you've got this luxurious life where you've got no issues, you never develop. You don't grow. You don't mature. You don't become stronger. In fact, Carl, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. No, I'm not. Carl Lentz said, and Carl Lentz is the pastor of Hillsong Church in New York, and he said, if there's an absence of adversity in my life, there may be an absence of progress as well. And I think he was thinking of that James 1:2-4 scripture when he wrote this. Because problems do things. They're not only bad. There's positivity in a problem as well. Just depends how you look at it. And look, we've been through some hectic stuff. V and I were, this course that we're busy developing, part one is introducing ourselves and the church and where we're going. And so we had to talk about our life. And I said to her, well, she actually said to me, because I'll just tell everyone everything, I don't know. And she says, you can't tell the people this. It's like, I said, but they got to know what we've been through. I mean, and it hasn't been an easy ride to you. But guess what? We've arrived here. When back then we thought, yes, this won't work. We're going to like lose each other. We're going to lose our house. We're going to lose our children. And there was times where I really wanted to run, but I stuck it out. And because of that, God matured me. And because of what I had been through, I was able to answer the call of God in my life. If I hadn't gone through all of that, I wouldn't be here today. Because the problems brought progress. I was able to see and experience Jesus and so share Jesus in a different way. Now, I want us to look at Acts 27 today. And it is a story you've heard in church over and over and over again about Paul in the storm, okay? You all know Paul, not this one, the good-looking one, okay? The Bible one, the one who wrote most of the letters in the New Testament, that Paul. You've got to understand, he had an extremely hard life. And he is busy dealing with things. He's been beaten, he's been locked up, and he's basically in chains and he's been taken to Caesar, who's in Rome. Now, with all of these issues, you would think, okay, man, the guy's had it bad already. Surely it can't get any worse. Well, they're about to enter into the mother of all storms. Okay? What was bad is about to get worse, and often in our life, it is like that. You think it's bad now, but there's other things coming. But in the storm, God always provides a way out. And more often than not, he uses somebody and he places somebody in your storm to give you the know-how and the comfort you need to get through where you find yourself. And this is what is happening in this account. The sailors are in the storm, the soldiers are in the storm, and Paul stands up in that storm and speaks into the storm that is in their life. And we're going to read it from the Message Bible. Is that okay with you? Okay, you can go read it in the King James. The King Jim is good for the highly educated. You can welcome to use it. I'm reading from the Message today because it speaks into where we're going. It says in 21 and 22, with our appetite for both food and life gone, Paul took his place in our midst and said, friends, you really should have listened to me back in Crete. We could have avoided all this trouble and all of this trial, but there's no need to dwell on that now. From now on, things are looking up. I can assure you that there will not be a single drowning among us, although I can't say as much for the ship. The ship itself is doomed. Okay, now, I just love this. It's like, you're supposed to be giving hope. And what does he do? He actually starts off with, I told you so. Yeah? I told you so. And you know how many times we deal with people that come to us for advice and we give them advice and then they go and follow their own head and then they come back. And often I just wanted to say to them, I told you so. Stupid. Why you do that to yourself? And Paul says to them, I told you so. But then he says something else. Don't dwell on the past, okay? You've made a mistake. You should have listened back then. You should have followed that advice, okay? But you didn't. But don't dwell on that now. You can't live and focus on what's behind you. You've got to deal with what you're dealing with right now, okay? And this is what he's saying to them. So, you need to hear this morning, not only that you're in a storm, we all know that, but you need to hear this part, things are looking up, okay? Are you hearing that? Things are looking up, and you might not think so right now where you are and with what you're going through, but things are looking up. And you know when things look up? When you go down on your knees and you look up, then you start to experience what Christ can do in your life. You forget what is behind you and you start looking ahead of you. And I want to tell you this morning, this, what you're going through, this COVID, this business, this relationship thing, this is not the last line in your book of life. It is not even the last chapter. There's still chapters to come. You're going to get through this. We just got to turn the page on this moment. There's more ahead of you, and the goodness of God is going to be with you if you would look up. Because things are going to look up. And I know you might be sitting there thinking, Paul, you don't know my story. And I know some of your stories, but I don't know all the stories. But I do know the God who is in the midst of that story with you if you invite him in. And he will say to you, listen here, things are looking up. So on the 27th. In 27 and 29, 23 and 26. Ooh, julle maak my deur mekaar vanoggend. It says, last night, God's angel stood at my side. An angel of this God I serve saying to me, don't give up, Paul. Okay? You know, even Paul was beginning to despair, obviously. And the angel had to talk to him and strengthen him so he could strengthen others. And it's okay to feel a little bit down. It's okay to feel this is too much. But he's saying to you this morning, don't give up, Johan. Don't give up, Debbie. Don't give up, Vilma. Don't give up, Chris. Things are looking up. You're going to stand before Caesar yet. You know, you think the storm's going to kill you, but we're going to get you to Rome so you can appeal to Caesar because I've got work for you to do in Rome. And everyone sailing with you is also going to make it. So dear friends, take heart. I believe God will do exactly what he told me. We're going to shipwreck on some island or another. Cool. Things are looking up. We're going to be shipwrecked, but they're looking up. Now, I don't know who needed to hear today, don't give up. But you want to hear the part about shipwreck? You want to hear the part about you're going to be okay, but it could get a little bit worse. But despite that, it's going to be okay. It's bad now, but there's still worse ahead of you. And that's always not always a nice message to hear or a nice message to give, but unfortunately, that's the truth. Sometimes things do get worse before they get better. Not always, but sometimes they do. The problem we have as believers is when things get worse, we give up on God. Because we've now prayed, we've asked him, make a way, fix my marriage, find me a job. And then when it doesn't happen, then we tend to back off instead of seeing through that next phase of your situation so that you can get to where God wants you to be. You remember last week, I said to you, you've got this. And today I'm saying to you again, you've got this. We used this phrase that you were reborn for a moment such as this. Is that up there? Did I put it in, Dirk? You were reborn, not born, you were reborn for a time such as this. In other words, you gave your life to Jesus, you got right with the King of Kings, and because you're right with Him, you are able to face what you are going through, but you got to understand, you can only do it if you're with Jesus. You might get through it on your own, because a lot of people get through a whole lot without Jesus. But who wants to do that? I don't. Because I've experienced when I allow Jesus into a situation and I walk with Him, and according to what I'm being told by Him, I get through things a lot quicker and I come out a lot healthier on the other side. You were reborn for a time such as this. You can do this. You can. Just do it with the right person. Jesus. 27 to 29. On the 14th night, 2 weeks in a storm, okay? 2 weeks in a hectic storm, 24 hours a day, there's no respite, there's waves, there's wind, there's rain, there's whatever. You're in fear of your life for 14 continuous days. And this is what happens. They were adrift somewhere on the Adriatic Sea, and about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. Sounding, they measured the depth of 120 feet, and shortly after that, 90 feet. Afraid that they were about to run aground, they threw out four anchors and prayed for daylight. Why do we only start praying when things are like really bad, instead of praying out through our life? Some of the sailors tried to jump ship. They let down the lifeboat, pretending they were going to set out more anchors from the bow. Paul saw through their guise and told the centurion and his soldiers, if these sailors don't stay with the ship, we're all going down. So the soldiers cut the lines to the lifeboat and let it drift off. And now I want to get into you this morning. Okay. Some of the sailors wanted to jump ship. Okay. Paul said, don't, because then you're going against what God had said. God said we will all be saved. Okay. If we allow them to jump ship, then we're not going to make it out of this. But there's people in your life, there's people on your boat that you need to push overboard. Because they don't belong there. They are part of the reason that you are where you are. Okay? And we need to look at who we're hanging out with, who's on board our ship, and throw some people overboard with the anchors. Get rid of them. They are not good for you. They're making the situation worse. In fact, they probably got you into the situation in the first place. We need to really evaluate who we're allowing close to us. And what are we allowing them to do to us? Some of the worst things in my life were because of people I was hanging out with. And until I realized I got to move away from them. If I didn't, I would have been divorced. If I didn't, I would have been an alcoholic. If I didn't, I would never have known Christ. I had to take a decision and leave certain people behind. And this morning, you need to chuck people overboard. We aren't saying that you can't love them, but you don't need to hang out with them. When you are strong enough, when you've been built up, when you are mature enough, you can maybe allow those people back into your life so that you can minister into their life. Why are we letting people, and I'm getting quite excited about this because I see this happening so often, why are we letting people direct our life and cause concern for us? Because we're afraid to approach something, we're afraid to look it in the eye and take action. Because we might hurt someone, we might offend someone, you might end up in hell. You've got to do something. and you've got to get tough on some things. I'm not saying you be ugly with people. Man, I love all people, but I know not all people are good in my life in that moment. I'm supposed to welcome everyone. I don't. Because some people are to take me off track. Some people are to lead me astray. Let me leave it there before we spend the rest of the sermon on that one. But if they don't add value to your life, push them overboard, okay? Throw them a life buoy thingy if you want, that's okay. But get rid of them. They don't belong, okay? They're doing harm. Did that speak to anyone this morning? Okay, don't put up your hand now. In verse 33 and 34, I've just got to check the time because I know you all got like a hectic schedule, huh? 33 and 34, with dawn about to break, Paul called everyone together and proposed breakfast. This is the 14th day we've gone without food. None of us felt like eating, but I urge you, eat something now. You need strength for the rescue ahead. You're going to come out of this without even a scratch. So Paul says to them, typical male, let's eat, I'm hungry. Okay? Thinking with his stomach. But you know what good advice that is? Because you need strength for what is ahead of you. And he says, look, eat, build up, you're going to be okay. And I want to tell you, if you eat from the bread of life, you're going to have the right strength for the time that you're in. You've got to feast on something other than negativity, other than depression, other than a pill, other than a bottle, other than other negative people. Eat from the bread of life. Look how you are spending your time and spend it more wisely. Get with Jesus. Eat from that bread that is life. Get the spiritual thing, food that you need to face that day. Then Paul takes the moment, and he takes this moment where they now know they're approaching land, okay? And things are about to get worse. They got no ways of stopping themselves being pounded against rocks. But in that moment, with this dire prediction ahead of them, he gives them vision and he breathes life into the situation by saying, it's going to be okay. And often we need just to hear, you know what, it's going to be okay. I know you're afraid, I know you don't know what's exactly ahead of you, but it's going to be okay. And I want to breathe life into your situation this morning, life into your relationships, life into your work situation, life into your homes. Tell you, it's going to be okay. Might not be easy, but it's going to be okay. In 35 to 38, he broke bread. He gave thanks to God. He passed it around, and they all ate heartily. 276 of us, all told. With the meal finished and everyone full, the ship was further lightened by dumping the grain overboard. Again, there's things to go overboard. They're holding you back. They're weighing you down. Perhaps it's unforgiveness. Perhaps it's a bad attitude. Perhaps it's stubbornness. It's time you get rid of that stuff and throw it overboard. Perhaps you want to make a loan, and it's the worst possible time to make a loan. Chuck it overboard. Let God make a way for you. Some things need to go. So what happens now? If you read on, the ship runs aground. Not exactly part of their plan, but this is what was to happen. The ship runs aground, but everyone gets saved. And before that happens, the soldiers want to kill everyone, well, the prisoners on board, so that they don't escape. And Paul says, whoa, just stop that. That is not in the will of God. That was not part of God's plan. You've got to spare these people. So the ship is doomed. They run aground. After 14 days without food, without water, without anything, they had one good meal. They hit those rocks. Ship breaks up, and they all managed to make it off. All 276 of them make it safely to shore because they were able to stand strong because Paul used wisdom in the moment. Eat, strengthen yourself. Hear what God has got to say to you today. And if I can give you one piece of advice for where you are now, if Jesus wasn't with them, they would have died. And if Jesus is not with you, you could potentially suffer consequences in the situation you find that you can do something about by just inviting him in. The best thing you can do for your life, the best thing you can do for your situation is to get Jesus involved. How many times in your life and how many times in my life didn't I try to do this on my own, or haven't you tried to do it on your own? And you might have got through it, but you could have got it through it with more peace. You could have got through it sooner. You can get through it better. You could have been further along than where you are now. If only we would learn to invite Jesus into everything. You see, those people prayed only when they thought it's about to get worse. You can read that there. What if they had been praying all along? What if they were all in the same frame of mind as what Paul was? Things would have been different. They would still have been in a storm, but they would have approached that storm completely different because they had Jesus, all of them. But God was good. He sent one man to stand strong for 276. And I wonder this morning if he sent someone to stand strong for you, because you're hearing a word from God this morning for a moment such as this, for you to stand strong. And I'm willing to stand with you, and I'm willing to stand by you, but then you got to get Jesus involved, and you got to follow what he says to you. Jesus is in to relationships. He's into abundance, not monetary, into abundance of love and grace and mercy. And we need to get those things back. Excuse me while I have a sip. So, I'm going a bit overboard here because I'm talking so much in between. But it's okay. Are you all good still? Okay. I want to come back to something that Carl Lentz, that pastor from Hillsong, said about this passage of scripture. And he says there's three things that we need to do to handle the heat better. Okay? Because some of us are in a fire. Some of us, you might call it the storm, some of you in the fire, but we've got to learn to handle the heat better. And you've got to remember you've got this. Okay? You've got this. With Jesus, you've got this. On your own, you might have hold of it, but you don't grasp it yet. And he says these three things have to be in place. You need to see it coming so you never end up running. Okay? You need to see it coming so you never end up running. Paul always seemed to be two steps ahead of what was going to happen. So when things happened, he wasn't surprised because he was with God. He understood that in this world you will have trouble. He understood that. It didn't surprise him when this opposition came, when the trial came. He was way better to get through it because he expected things to not be smooth. And this is where we make a mistake as believers. We think, woo, smooth ride. No, you got exactly the same ride. You just got the peace of Christ with you on the ride now. But Paul was always seemed to be ahead, and he wasn't concerned when these things happened. Now, generally speaking, most believers, and I know it's not any of you here, when bad things happen, we freak out with the best of them, don't we? We are not known for our poise under pressure, are we? We like go, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to me? And COVID came, it's the end of the world, get ready, Jesus is coming. And we're freaking out with everyone and causing chaos and creating fear. And we should have said, God's got this. Not going to be easy, but we'll get through it. But we're not generally known for approaching situations well. Now, what would happen if we were? What would happen if we could set an example that when things, difficult times come, we've got this down because we got God and Jesus with us? What would happen if we just reacted differently and showed the world a different way of reacting to trials and tribulations? If we were able to be there for other people despite what we are going through. Because the first thing that happens is when it's going tough with you, you cut off your interaction with other people because you're dealing with it. Instead of having God deal with you and then using you to help other people deal with what they are going through. We just need a different attitude, a different way of approaching things. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I want to see a generation of believers rise up that when the worst of the worst comes, it brings out the best of the best in us. Okay? When things get bad, we just say, Jesus. Okay? There, world, that's what we're going to give you, and whatever you throw against us, that is our defense. We're going to go through it, but we're going to go through it with Jesus. Would you like to change that, the way you approach issues and problems? Well, you can. I want to ask you, how do you start your day? What if you started your day with the one who's going to see you through the day? And often we talk about this, and some of you might read a chapter, you might pray or whatever, but you know, there's got to be heart in that, and it must come from a point of relationship. How different would your day be if you just took, let's say, 15 minutes, but like really intimate 15 minutes, and you worship God, and you read your Bible, and you pray together? What's going to happen when things come at you in the day? You're going to approach it differently because you've been somewhere that you weren't before. And you're going to take what you got here and you're going to give it to what you're facing over there. This morning, V and I were doing a quiet time before we came here. And it was based on Psalm 139, which says, I knitted you together in your mother's womb. I saw you in that place. It's like, wow, Lord, you know what? It doesn't matter if you were with me there, Lord. It doesn't matter where I am today. You're with me there as well. Because you started at the beginning with me, Lord, and surely you're going to walk with me all the days of my life, right up to the end. So wherever I go today, whatever I do, I know God is with me. And it gives me confidence to face the day. And we need to get to that place where we are really having this time with God that sets us up for what we're about to face. The problem is when things go bad, then I want to go to church, then I want to be counseled by the pastor, then I want to pray. Well, you could set yourself up in a life in Christ that allows you to deal with all of these things. When problems come, you don't go running, you go shouting, my God is bigger, my God is bigger, my God is better. And you go have that type of attitude. Point number two, you got to see it through. Man, some of us give up, don't we? You get mismoedig. I don't know, there's no English word like mismoedig. Okay? You get down and you're like, I can't do this, I'm so tired, when's it going to end? And you give up just short of the glory of God. Just before the breakthrough, oh no, I'm not, this Jesus thing doesn't work, I'm going to go try this my way. I'm going to go, you know what, I'm going to go see my attorney, and I'm going to go and make a loan, and I'm going to go and I'm going to take a job that I should never have taken, whatever the case, and you've given up just before the breakthrough. Believers need patience, and believers need perseverance, and believers need faith. When you're in an intimate relationship with God, you know when something comes your way, if it's for you or if it's going to turn against you. because from the point of relationship. That's why that 15 minutes or 20 minutes or hour, I don't know how much ever time, but get with Jesus to start your day, because giving up is not an option. Okay? Giving up is not an option. And then lastly, you got to shake it off. Okay? So you got to see it coming so you don't end up running. You got to see it through and you got to shake it off. You know what happens in that story with Paul? And I know I'm preaching a little bit longer than usual, but hang in there, we're almost done. They arrive on this island and the word says it's cold and it's raining, okay? For goodness sake, Lord, can't you let up? We've been through a storm now. I'm eventually safe on land, and it's still cold, and it's still raining, Lord. Give me a break, please. Paul doesn't take an attitude. He builds a fire. And it says he's putting wood on the fire, okay? And as he takes the wood, snake comes out. I'm glad I'm not him, okay? And the snake bites him on his hand, but it hangs on his hand. Now, right then, I don't care if Paul is my best buddy, I'm out of there. I'm ahead of all the women. I'm leaving everyone behind because I don't like snakes. Okay, I would have been freaking out and panicking and running with the best of them. But you see, Paul looks at the situation. And he does something extraordinary. He doesn't panic. He doesn't freak out. He doesn't go for counseling. He doesn't call a meeting. He shakes it off. And when the devil comes at you, you got to learn to shake it off. Because the longer you allow things to hang on to you, the more poison is getting into you. And the weaker you're becoming. We're holding on to certain things, to the wrong things, and sometimes it's people for too long, and the longer they hold on, the longer you're in that place, the more poison is getting into you, and the weaker you're becoming. You got to learn sometimes, skitom, shake it off. Okay? Chuck some things in the fire that they can burn up, because that's where they belong. Isn't that cool? I think I hurt my back shaking, but that's okay. People, are you getting this? Life is not easy. No one ever said it would be easy, but it can be better with Jesus. And you can get through everything you're facing. There can be a restoration in every situation that you are facing if you give it to Jesus. And I pray that through this next week, we're probably going to carry on with part three. I've got another thing laid on me. But for now that you know, you're not alone. If you invited Jesus in, he's with you there. He'll guide you and he'll equip you and he'll carry you when you're feeling weak. But you've got to see these things coming so you don't end up running. You've got to see it through. You need to persevere. And there's some things you've got to shake off. You got this. You have got this if you're with Christ. Let's trust in that. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that this morning we can come before you and we can just fall on our knees and we say, thank you, Lord, that you do not abandon us. Thank you, Lord, that your word says you never, never leave us and you never forsake us. I pray, Lord, that where we have been led astray, where our eyes have been blinded, that you would just open our eyes and we can see situations for what they are. We can do what is right, Lord, in your eyes, and we can follow your way and your will. Lord, just be our guide. Thank you that you are our companion. Show us the way through the adversity we face. And we want to thank you, Lord, in faith. We stand in faith, and this morning we say, we're going to get through this. We've got it because we're with you. I thank you that there'll be work, there'll be income, there'll be restoration in relationships. Marriages will be strengthened, Lord God. Illnesses will be gone. Whatever it is that is attached to us will be shaken off in the fury and the fury of your love for us, Lord God. We come before you and we say, thank you, Lord, that together we are better because we're with you, Lord. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you want any more info, please feel free to visit our website, www.bechurch.co.za, or connect with us on Facebook at Bikers Church Gardenerette.